Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On the Clock, What Low-Wage Work Did to Me and How It Drives America Insane is a non-fiction memoir and work of reportage by journalist Emily Gwendelsberger. Drawing on her own experiences in three low-wage jobs, an Amazon fulfillment center in Kentucky, a call center in North Carolina, and a McDonald's in San Francisco, the book examines how modern hourly labor is shaped by surveillance, automation, quotas, and constant speed-up. Its purpose is not simply to describe unpleasant work, but to show how efficiency systems have transformed jobs that once relied on human judgment into tightly controlled processes designed to extract more labor at lower cost. Gwendelsberger combines first-person narrative with structural analysis, connecting everyday workplace frustrations to broader economic and technological changes. The book is both a personal account and a labor critique, aimed at readers who want to understand why so many low-wage jobs feel physically exhausting, emotionally draining, and increasingly dehumanizing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how three ordinary jobs reveal the modern low-wage economy. The book is built around three first-hand jobs that let Gwendelsberger compare different corners of hourly labor without losing the larger pattern. Amazon, the call center, and McDonald's are not chosen for novelty alone. They represent major sectors where workers are expected to move quickly, absorb pressure, and tolerate constant measurement by moving between warehouse work. Phone-based customer service and fast food, the book shows that low-wage work is not a set of isolated bad workplaces, but a system with shared features. The reader sees how similar expectations appear in different settings: relentless pace, strict scripts, minimal autonomy, and the sense that any delay is a failure of character rather than a consequence of design. This structure makes the argument stronger than a single workplace memoir would. It suggests that the problem is not one employer or one manager, but a labor market organized around controllable, replaceable workers whose time is treated as cheap and endlessly expandable. Secondly, technology is a tool for tighter control, not workplace relief. A central claim of the book is that technology has made many low-wage jobs more efficient for employers, but less humane for workers. Gwendelsberger shows how monitoring systems, digital trackers, and algorithmic management can measure nearly every task in real time and push workers to maintain impossible tempos. The point is, not that technology itself is the enemy, but that it is often deployed to remove discretion from employees and convert human labor into a sequence of timed motions. In this framework, software and devices do not reduce stress. They often intensify it by making every pause visible and every shortcoming immediately actionable by management. The book uses concrete workplace examples to show how this feels on the ground. Bathroom breaks are timed, output quotas are rigid, and workers are constantly aware that they are being watched. This analysis matters because it reframes automation as a labor power issue. The question is less whether machines can replace workers than whether the remaining workers are being treated like machine parts. Thirdly, the body under pressure, exhaustion, stress, and fight or flight, Gwendelsberger does more than describe bad conditions. She explains why these conditions are so damaging to the human body and mind. The book pays attention to the science of stress and the fight or flight response, showing how chronic workplace pressure can keep workers in a state of near constant physiological alarm. That helps explain why apparently small things, such as a missed target, a rushed phone script, or a delayed break, can feel overwhelming when repeated all day. The Amazon sections highlight physical exhaustion from excessive walking and pace enforcement, while the call center and McDonald's sections show how mental strain and emotional labor can be equally draining. By linking personal discomfort to stress biology, the book avoids treating burnout as weakness. Instead, it argues that many low-wage jobs are designed in ways that predictably produce fatigue, anxiety, and injury. This makes the book especially effective as social critique because it shows that suffering is not incidental to the system. In many cases, it is the system's output. Fourthly, what low wages hide about class, dignity, and public assumptions. Another important thread is the gap between how low-wage workers are perceived and what the work actually demands. Gwendelsberger challenges the common assumption that hourly service workers have easy jobs compared with office workers or executives. The book argues the opposite: low-wage employees often face harsher physical strain, tighter supervision, and less flexibility than more privileged workers, while also receiving lower status and less respect. This theme gives the memoir its social force. It asks readers to notice how class is embedded in everyday language, workplace expectations, and public attitudes towards service labor. The phrase "in the weeds," for example, becomes a revealing marker of who has experienced restaurant or retail pressure firsthand. More broadly, the book insists that dignity in work is tied not just to pay but to autonomy, treatment, and the recognition that low-wage workers are managing complex demands under severe constraints. That perspective turns the memoir into a critique of cultural blindness as much as a critique of wages. Lastly, a a labor critique aimed at reform, not only complaint. Although On the Clock is personal and often darkly funny, it is also written as a reform-minded intervention. Gendelsberger connects her experiences to broader questions about wages, labor standards, and the political invisibility of low-income workers. The book encourages readers to reopen serious discussion about the federal minimum wage and to examine how labor markets reward efficiency at the expense of health and humanity. It also asks readers to reconsider consumer habits and the normalized expectation that workers should absorb endless convenience costs. What distinguishes the book is that it does not stop at outrage. It builds a case that the current system is historically produced and therefore changeable. That makes it useful for readers who want a clearer understanding of labor policy, worker precarity, and the social consequences of automation. The book stands out in its category because it combines reporting, memoir, humor, and structural analysis without losing its human focus. It is not only an account of how bad low-wage work feels, but an argument about how American work has been organized to make that feeling routine. In conclusion, On the Clock should be read by anyone interested in labor politics, workplace culture, automation, journalism, or the lived reality behind service sector jobs. It will be especially valuable to readers who want to understand low-wage work beyond slogans, since Gendelsberger shows how quotas, surveillance, scheduling, and customer pressure shape daily life in concrete ways. The book also offers practical intellectual value for students of economics, sociology, and media studies because it connects individual experience to broader systems without reducing workers to statistics. What sets it apart from many books about labor is its blend of memoir and reporting. It is personal enough to feel immediate, but structured enough to explain why the same patterns appear across different industries. Compared with earlier landmark accounts such as Nickel and Dimed, it updates the conversation for the age of digital monitoring and algorithmic management. The result is a sharply observed, accessible, and unsettling portrait of work in contemporary America. Readers looking for a book that clarifies why low-wage jobs feel so exhausting and why that exhaustion is politically meaningful will find it especially worthwhile. If you would like to support Emily Gendelsberger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.